Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. As it is a Wednesday, as it is always a Wednesday.
We are in full after dark mode.
Full on after dark.
Yes. Baseball playoffs on the TV.
Holla, holla, holla.
It is dark outside. It's dark outside. And Kurt Suzuki just got hit in the wrist, and then it bounced up and hit him in the head.
I'm sorry. Was that a Chappelle Show reference right there with the holla, holla, holla?
Holla, 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 holla. Well, I couldn't.
Very nice.
So there's something up with this in my headphones. I got to like play with them to get it going, to get it like going in my ears. So while I was speaking, I couldn't hear anything.
Oh.
And that like freaks me out. I'm just so used to when I talk on the mic to just be able to hear anything. So I was like, do something to buy time. Holla, holla, holla.
I'll just say that over and over while I turn this back and forth to get the volume.
I guess that's just my go-to. But yeah, Suzuki just got hit in the head. Walker Buehler looks sad, but. You know, he's in the seventh at 101 pitches. I think he's okay.
Probably.
There was an interesting moment tonight in this game. I mean, I guess we'll just dive right into baseball.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot to get to. I mean, we're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There was four different series. One of them, or two of them are over now.
There was a moment.
At this point last week, it was wild card game, right?
It was. We were on American League wild card game Wednesday after watching the quite good wild card game in the National League.
Yes, sir.
You might as well just jump right in. A lot has happened.
Yeah. I was watching earlier, and Walker Buehler was pitching, obvi.
Buehler.
To Adam Eaton. Is that Clayton Kershaw?
That is Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, God. You guys are trying to win this game, right?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Walker Buehler is pitching to Adam Eaton, and Adam Eaton calls time. The ump gives him time. But Walker Buehler doesn't notice and throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball in a beautiful location high in the zone.
Two-strike count, too.
Yeah. Little outside.
It was in the zone, though.
But for sure in the zone. Little, outside corner, but still kind of more central. Brilliant pitch. And he stops and looks for a moment and pauses, you know, because the ump gives time and Adam Eaton's like fixing his batting gloves, doing whatever.
Yeah, Adam Eaton just stood still while the pitch happened as if he wasn't swinging because, well, he got time.
Yeah. And then Walker Buehler says something to him. And then Adam Eaton, like, knee jerk, turns his head, like, what'd you say to me? And I was like, oh, please fight. Oh, they won't because it's 2019 baseball.
Also, there's much less fighting in the playoffs because these games matter fully.
I don't know. I would have watched that.
Well, yes, we all would have watched that. But you know what the Dodgers don't need is Walker Buehler in the third inning getting thrown out for fighting.
Right, right. This game's been really interesting.
As opposed to the earlier game.
Yeah, we'll talk about this game as we progress throughout the show. But Strasburg looked rough in the first inning, but settled down. But then he looked like Strasburg in the second and the third inning. In the fourth inning, from what I saw, I had a little gap in between. You did too. But Buehler's looked great. He's looked fantastic. His curve is locating. His fastball is heat. He's still throwing 96, placing them. Walker Buehler looks fantastic right now.
The new number one on the Dodgers. I think it is now written in stone after this series because in game two or game one. Was it game one?
Game one, I think.
Game one, he pitched an absolute gem. Kershaw got hit around early like he normally does. Ryu is, I don't want to say his season was a fluke, but he's not pitching at the same level as he was earlier when he was at like a one ERA.
I'll say it, his season's a fluke.
So it's Walker Buehler. That's the big guy on the Dodgers. And let me tell you, he's terrifying. He's really good.
I am okay with that. Walker Buehler is easily a top five favorite pitcher of mine in baseball.
You just like the young, new up-and-coming players at all times.
I do, but I mean, Jacob deGrom's in his 30s. He's my number one guy.
That's true.
I mean, he's no Clevinger and Bieber, but really, who is?
A lot of pitchers.
But Walker Buehler, I noticed it last year. I think it was in the playoffs. I was like, this guy's good. I hate the Dodgers, but this guy's really good. Instantly looking at like my fantasy leagues. Ooh, can I pick this guy up? No. Like, not at all. He's completely unavailable. So that's where we stand. We're in the, what are we in? Top of the seven, runner on first, one out. Walker Buehler's still on the mound because can't trust that bullpen.
Well, the bullpen currently is Clayton Kershaw warming up.
Yeah, apparently. Still can't trust that bullpen.
Nope.
And who would have thought this? Asdrubal Cabrera up at the dish in a big spot.
Didn't I make this remark last week?
You were like, Howie Kendrick?
Yeah, who would have thought that this team, because they beat the Brewers in that game, right? Who could have thought that this team with Howie Kendrick and Asdrubal Cabrera and Kurt Suzuki and Anibal Sanchez and Adam Eaton would be this good? And yet here we are.
Is Jason Worth in left field?
I think he's dead. But
I think they're still paying him, though.
No, they are definitely still paying him for sure. So you got a bunch of old guys who are way past their primes that are still contributing, which is kind of cool. It's a cool story.
But then you got young guys, Trey Turner, Juan Soto.
Victor Robles.
Strasburg, I'll throw in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this team's good.
Patrick Corbin.
I really want this team to win. I desperately want them to win. Because if they win a World Series with no Bryce Harper, that'd be the greatest thing in baseball
history.
Well,
they're not going to win a World Series, but...
Why not, Michael? Well, they could beat the Cardinals.
They could. I'm not going to beat the Yankees, though.
Oh my God.
Or the Astros.
Oh, God.
that's my little bias hat on there. No, I mean, anybody can win the World Series. It's baseball, right? That's the fun of the playoffs. But I don't know. I still don't fully believe in them. I mean, they're losing 3-1. They're still down. It's in the seventh inning. You know, Buehler's pitching well.
Uh-oh.
That's a line drive
out.
Dang it. Adam Ball right there to Cody Bellinger. The Dodgers are a better team. So if they don't win this, I think, okay, well, the Nationals played really well. I think they got a little bit lucky, but yeah, they lose in the next round to the Cardinals probably.
Are you happy if you're a Nats fan, if you lose this game?
You happy? Probably. I think because the way this year started was such...
Should you be happy?
Yes.
Maybe is the best way to phrase
that. I think you should. Because the way this year started was a boondoggle. I mean, mm-hmm. You were, what, like 15 games below 500 earlier or something like that?
Great word.
You were able to... boondoggle.
Yeah.
You're able to come back, make the playoffs, win a wild card game, push the bona fide stud National League team, the only bona fide stud National League team, to five games. And you did it with kind of a bunch of guys that you love, but also some spare parts. And I think that's something worth being excited about, especially with the way the year started. So, yeah, I think you should be happy. However, most National fans will go, we lost in the first round again for the 17th year in a row. The team hasn't existed for 17 years, but that's how it feels for them, I'm sure.
Especially against the Dodgers. They didn't play the Dodgers every year, but I feel like it's always the Dodgers. Yeah, Nats fans are going to be pissed. But I think you should be very happy of this Nats team. And if you can keep Anthony Rendon and Strasburg, it's going to cost a lot of money to do it. But if you can keep those guys, I think the future's bright on this team.
I
can't believe I'm saying that because I love to rip this team.
I also think that I thought Davey Martinez was a bad manager, but I think he's a good manager.
I think he is, too.
I don't know if he figured it out or maybe the pieces just weren't right up until that point for him, but there's something different, and you give this guy plenty of leash.
I think he might have had a clubhouse cancer, and now he doesn't. Just saying. Oakley Doakley, we will keep you up to date on this game.
I was trying to think of another player who left in the offseason, and I couldn't. I was like, Fernando Rodney?
As it progresses, so we'll keep you up to date on that. There's two outs. Buehler looks like he might get out of this inning, but Trey Turner is at the dish with a runner on. Coming up, we got a lot of stuff. We got playoffs all day. We got fair or foul at the bottom of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll just keep churning through all this. You can follow us on social media. Mike's at MikeLynch27. You can find me at PDiddy085. There's also our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher at JoeFish3. That's FISCH on Twitter. Joe, you got a new podcast coming out too, right?
Yeah.
One of many new podcasts from what I hear.
One that just came out. That is the Pro Ducks podcast that me and my good friend Justin Bradshaw are doing. Episode one just released there. So doing that. Gonna have another one coming up with a buddy of mine that is in the hip hop scene here in Portland. Gonna be hopefully getting first episode recorded Sunday, Monday, around there.
Cool.
He's actually performing tomorrow night to try and open up for a certain concert in town around the Halloween time. The Boo Bomb.
Yeah. I've been to that twice. Yeah.
There's a lot
awfully
of
awfully awesome.
And right, it's the 90s, 2000s. Well, he's trying to win a contest to open up for Ice Cube.
That sounds great. So Ice Cube's at Boo Bomb this year?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
E-40's going to be there,
oh,
too.
Oh, what? This is solid.
I don't know if, we should be, promoting this because it's
right,
kind
it's of somebody else's station.
Kind of put on. I was trying not to, even say the name, but whatever at this point. But, yeah, he's going to be trying to open up there, and he's opened up for a lot of people in Roseland, Hawthorne, all that. So
perfect.
Me and him will have a nice sports hip-hop music podcast, and I'll have another one. I'm working.
Cool.
I'm behind the scenes working.
I dig it. So follow those. We are
those reps.
Yeah.
Get those reps.
Yep. We are the podcast trio here. There is Beers on Us drops tomorrow as Mike and I recap GABF and how Oregon did and the little love to Washington plus the beer of the week. That'll drop tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. When we come back, I want to start with the most interesting series of the playoffs that Michael poo-pooed. And it actually turned out pretty good
except
until about 2:17 this afternoon. We start in Atlanta, and that we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I'm really leaning on the beat.
Who doesn't like a good rubby action?
Yeah. It's 8:18 here on Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. Clayton Kershaw's in the game. Holla. And he did not blow it.
No, he struck out Adam Eaton. Two on, two out.
There you go.
I like how you say it, holla, as if you weren't just 5 minutes ago. Do you want to win this game? And then we look over at the TV. He's fist pumping, walking off the field, giving up no runs.
If there's something Madison Bumgarner taught me, it's kind of fun to see Hall of Fame starting pitchers come in late in games. I kind of like it because literally you have no idea what's going to happen.
Very true.
You know what I mean? It's like yesterday, it's like Justin Verlander has never pitched on 3 days rest, which we'll get to later. You're like, oh, weird. I assume he'll kill it. You're like, no. Not at all, actually. So it's like when
Kershaw was terrible. We'll get to that, I'm assuming. Yeah, he was terrible.
So when Kershaw comes in, it's like I want popcorn. Like, I want to watch because he's either going to be dominant or it's 3-3. Am I wrong in that thought?
No, you're right. I mean, that's Kershaw, right? In the playoffs, that's Kershaw. He's either been really good really bad. There really hasn't been a lot of in between.
I think it's fair for any pitcher. Like, if this game gets close and Max Scherzer comes in, same situation. I'm like, ooh, hey, how's this going
to
go?
Hey, you know who we really need to hope comes into this game.
Don't you toy with my heart, Joe Fisher.
I didn't want to do it.
He is on the Washington Nationals.
He has already made two appearances this series.
Yeah. Yeah, it could happen.
He's got an inning and two-thirds under his belt.
It could happen. So we'll keep you up to date on that Nationals game as we are going into the bottom of the seventh. Kershaw in the game. I don't know how long he'll pitch, but their bullpen is trash, so hopefully long. We were talking last week, and I was kind of talking that I was really excited for a series. And, Mike, you were a little like, I find it boring, and I think you made great points. So I'm not here to bag on you by any means. I think you made great points as to why.
But I'm here to bag on you.
I think you made some good points as why it just kind of seemed a little meh. And I'm okay with that. But I think the best series of this playoff so far has been St. Louis-Atlanta.
Oh, for sure. I was very wrong about that being a bad series or a boring series. I think I said I could see it going five. I just didn't get a lot of flash or sex appeal from it.
Yeah.
And to be fair, and maybe this is just all on me, but I didn't watch a ton of this series. I saw game one, And I think I watched the end of game four, and then I watched the beginning of game five, which was all you needed to watch.
Oh, you had to watch. I watched the end of game five today.
I did not see games two and three, if I'm remembering correctly, but I think that's because they were overlapping with the Yankee games. So, of course, I was choosing my team to watch instead. But, I mean, it was a great series. It was a classic playoff series. It was well-matched, back and forth, lots of drama. There were side stories that were interesting, such as the Acuna not running out a hit in the first game, which cost the team a run, which guess how many runs they lost by? One.
Yeah.
There was that. There
well
was
managed.
Very well managed, for sure.
Starting pitching.
Either really good or really bad.
Oh, God, baby. I was, as a baseball fan, it's so funny. Like, as a baby, if you listen to this show, you'll know that, excuse me, if you listen to the show, you know that I love starting pitching. I love, love, love it. The starting pitching in this series has been better than any series as a whole, with the exception of today. Jack Flaherty was unbelievable.
Yep. Hasn't been all second half.
Unbelievable in game two, and he was outpitched by Mike Foltynewicz. Like, that is incredible.
Yes.
I got to see Adam Wainwright throw to Yadi Molina. I saw that in 2006, okay? We're still seeing that. Dakota Hudson pitched well. Soroka pitched well.
Michaelis pitched okay.
Michaelis pitched okay. Keuchel pitched okay. Kind of got hit or a little like Strasburg tonight. Got hit a little bit, but then settled in. I thought the starting pitching was the name of the game in this series.
Yeah, the bullpens were bad.
Bullpens were bad.
You had both teams blowing games in their own right, although they both wound up being Cardinals wins in the blown games, but both of them kind of gave the game back to each other in both of those. You had kind of I view this as a kind of a classic playoff series because you had great starting pitching and you had a couple of guys who were just too dang clutch and they made a difference. Like Yadier Molina, for example, in game four,
I mean, that's
both the game tying hit and the game winning sac fly. And the stat was crazy that he now is tied in postseason RBIs with Babe Ruth, 33. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, it helps that the guy's been in the postseason since 2005. So, I mean, was Matheny the catcher in 04? Or was it Yadi Molina when they lost to the Red Sox?
Oh, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like the guy's been around. That's baseball. That's baseball stuff right there. Of course Yadi Molina gets the hit to go to tie the game. Of course he gets the sac fly to win the game. Like, that's baseball. And I thought this series was full of it. I think it's a tough deal for the A's, for the Braves. I think going into today, I loved their chances. And Folty just didn't have it. And I think today,
which is not surprising to those of us who watched him this year, because he didn't have it for most of the year.
I think today was a massive misrepresentation of what this series was, because not only did Folty get lit, but Fried got lit, and it was over before it even started.
Well, here's the thing that I view about the Braves in this series, and this is not something that I've ever really thought about, but it is very true. The Braves are like the Nationals. They blow it in the playoffs frequently. Since they won the World Series, since they were good in the 90s,
they only won one.
Yeah. Since they were good then, as it's gone further and further, they tend to lose in the first round frequently. It's just what they do. Game one, you're up 3-1 going into the eighth inning, and you give up 6 runs in the last 2 innings, and you try to make a valiant comeback effort in the ninth. You get within 1 run, but you lose that game 7-6, right? You have the Acuna not running out the double that you thought was a home run, winds up being a single. He doesn't score in that inning. Imagine if he did, it would be a tie game.
Right.
Then in game four, after you pitched brilliantly in games two and three, won 3-0, 3-1, you're in the driver's seat, you're feeling good about yourself. Game four, you're winning again, 4-3, and you blow that game again in the eighth inning, and then in the 10th inning in extra innings. And the story to me is the Braves couldn't get out of their own way in this series.
Yeah.
And for a team that I had a lot of high hopes for this postseason, as a team I thought if they made it to the next round could beat the Dodgers with the way that they were built, couldn't get out of their own way. And I think what you're seeing in these playoffs so far, at least in the two series that have gone final, and I think in the other AL series at the moment, although it's not final yet, the teams that aren't getting out of their own way are the ones that are losing.
Yeah.
And we'll get to it. The Twins were awful.
Yeah.
Frankly, the Astros the last two games have been awful.
Been really bad.
So, and the Braves in those two games plus today, awful. So you're not getting out of your own way, even though you've got a ton of talent. And in the playoffs, you just don't have any room for error.
I'll finish on this before we move on, because I do want to talk about the Cardinals a little bit. I'm interested because you remember the trade deadline and Atlanta did all this work, pick up Shane Green, pick up Mark Melanson. That was clearly their spot that they needed the most work on. And they make moves, and they got that other dude from the Rangers, like classic white guy name, like Will Smith, even though that guy's not a white guy. But who's the other guy they got? They got Shane Green and Mark Melanson. And
I don't remember.
They got all this great bullpen help that we knew they needed at the bullpen, and we were sitting here going like, okay, sure, the Astros got Greinke. I guess you win the trade deadline, but the Braves are here to play.
Oh, Chris Martin.
Chris Martin, thank you. Oh, yeah, Coldplay. And we think they've got it figured out, and they couldn't do it. I wonder how much blame Snitaker might take on this. Because Max Fried didn't start a game.
No, he was your number one guy out of the bullpen, basically.
Yeah. Did Folty need to start today? Did you ever really need to pull Folty out of the Fried out of the bullpen? Could he have started a game? I know it's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's a lot of armchair, and I don't mean to do that. And I don't personally think it's Snitaker's fault. But could this staff have been managed better?
Maybe. But what I think is that the staff just wasn't that good, that are as good as we thought. I mean, you give Folty today because of what he did in game two, right?
He was unbelievable in game two.
I think game two was almost the Braves going, what do you got, Folty? Let's see what you can do for us in these playoffs.
He outpitched Jack Flaherty.
I know. So there's no question that he should have pitched today based on how he pitched in game two. However, when you look at their starting staff, you kind of go, in the playoffs, your views change, right?
Right.
And we'll talk about this, especially for me in the Yankees Twin Series when we get to it. In the regular season, we thought, oh, the Braves have a great staff, right? You got Soroka pitching great. You got Fried pitching great. Keuchel's there. He's a vet. You know, Folty's kind of up and down, but he's there. It's a great staff. You get into the playoffs and you watch these games and you realize who they're going against and you go, oh, it's not that great.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Keuchel was your best pitcher.
I know. Guilty as charged.
And you go.
I drank the Kool-Aid. I was in the kitchen stirring it up, you know.
And you go, well, how good is Dallas Keuchel, right? And he pitched well in game two, but it's how good is Dallas Keuchel? And you see Folty pitch well. Great. Okay, cool. Actually, that was game one that Keuchel pitched, right?
Yeah.
He pitched well in game one. Game two, Folty pitches. You're like, oh, okay. I get it. It's a good start. But then you watch him today and you're looking at Fried out of the bullpen. You're like, are these really that good of pitchers? Was this staff as good as we thought it was? I don't think so. Not compared to the Cardinals, at least. Not compared to the Cardinals.
And even with that staff and the missed opportunities, like you said, Acuna not running out the bases and just getting off that terrible start today. I mean, like that. That is just.
The game was over in the first inning,
exactly.
And everybody knew it.
The game was over before the first inning was over.
Don't even give yourself a chance. And that's just not doing yourself any favors. But then I'm looking at, now that the season's over, you can look at obviously stats as a whole and where they went wrong. And I'm looking at three guys in Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis, and Josh Donaldson, who went 3-for-17, 2-for-15, 2-for-16.
Well, Freddie Freeman's going to have surgery on his elbow.
And in the five games,
apparently he's been fighting through that.
That offense averaged 3.5 runs.
Yeah.
And with Acuna not, you know, again, I mentioned it again, not getting every run counts in the playoffs with this good pitching. And again, like you mentioned, it was just not the best staff once you measure it up, once you actually get there. But they left a lot of potential on the board, and they still took it to five games.
Yeah.
When you look at it as a whole, they should have won this series.
I think you're right, Joe. I think you bring up a great point with that. I think Acuna and Albies, minus the Acuna mistake, I think Acuna and Albies played well.
And he had a great series, too. Batted .500. I mean,
yeah. And Duvall showed up when they needed him. But you're right. The vets. Freddie Freeman, who has been dealing with an elbow injury, is probably going to get surgery in the offseason.
Donaldson sucked.
Donaldson wasn't good. And Markakis, like, you are the little engine that is the Atlanta Braves. Like,
those
you're
are three
the guy.
Of your dudes right there that you need to. And even Brian McCann, I know he literally just retired, but he went 2-for-13 even.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they just, I mean, I think the future is bright for them.
Yeah, because Swanson had a good series too, I believe, right?
Yes, Swanson did have a good series.
So he, Acuna, and Albies played well.
The kids were good.
And the vets were not.
And you would think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, I do want to flip this script because I do think the Cardinals need a lot of love for this, as I want to get into Jake Flaherty, Dakota Hudson, and what this pitching staff, and if it is the Dodgers, who are up 3-1 top of the eighth with Kershaw still on, can this team do it? We'll get to that next. But first, there's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's safe to say, as we're looking at the TV, no one is sitting next to Clayton Kershaw. And that would be because he just gave up back-to-back bombs on back-to-back pitches to Anthony Rendon, and Juan Soto tied 3-3 top of the eighth. Kenta Maeda in this game, and the Dodgers are crumbling.
Why is Clayton Kershaw Clayton Kershaw? Why are you the way that you are, as Michael Scott would say to Toby?
Some of my favorite things that have come across the Better You Today text line 55305. Dieter, what the actual bleep? And whoa, ouch, Clayton. Also coming in. I really wanted to talk about the Cardinals starting pitching right now, but I cannot get away from this. This is what I was just talking about, Mike. You never know what's going to happen when a Hall of Fame starter comes into the game. And Kershaw, these Dodger fans are defeated. They're like, oh my God, we're going to lose.
Well, but here's the thing, and I'll go half glass full for Dodgers
fans. No one is sitting next to Clayton Kershaw, one of the greatest pitchers I've ever watched in my entire life. Like, I ain't touching that guy.
This year,
get robbed on the street tonight.
The Dodgers have walked off a ton. If you've been paying attention just to highlights, even if you haven't watched a bunch of their games, they've been walking off and coming back all season. So I wouldn't put it past them in the bottom of the eighth or bottom of the ninth to still win this game.
Kershaw.
Agreed.
Kershaw comes up to the plate.
How poetic. Now that's baseball.
That's baseball, Susan.
That's baseball, baby.
So Kershaw comes up to the plate and hits a home run to win the game or something. Yeah, and now they're using Kenta Maeda. That shows you just how little trust Dave Roberts has in his bullpen.
I think the most scared person in this entire building right now is not Clayton Kershaw. The most scared person in this entire building right now is Dave Roberts.
Well, he's not going to lose his job over this.
I think he could.
Wow, Kenta Maeda is really pumped about these strikeouts. I've never seen him show emotion ever.
Well, because you've never seen him throw strikeouts like that before.
Well, damn.
I think Dave Roberts is in trouble if they lose this.
Come on, really?
I mean,
yeah. They look good.
They were fine. Like,
they made back-to-back World Series. They were best record in the National. I mean,
but what's their biggest problem?
They were fine an hour ago.
He's not being fired.
I bring in Kenley Jansen, and then Kershaw later, duh. Armchair quarterback here, duh.
Dave Roberts is not getting fired for this. If they lose, even if they lose, they might win the game still. It's not over.
All right, well, I expect Yan Gomes to do some great
things. Although, for whatever reason,
right,
the Indians, you said Yan Gomes.
What up? It is Yan Gomes.
I know, but that's what reminded me
of. He left us to be a backup catcher.
The Nationals are swinging at every curveball way outside for some reason. So,
well, because the last curveballs that got thrown went deep into the seats.
Look at them. What is they this? Can't hold up on the Maeda curveball.
I don't mean to jump on this because it's right now and be reactionary, but I have to. Like, Kershaw, I mean, you're not good, buddy.
Not in the postseason, you're not.
You're not good in the postseason. What is wrong with him? How does happen?
I mean, it's all mental.
Well,
right?
Of course, but why? What on earth has happened to him to make him think he can't do this?
Well, maybe. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't want to pull it up while I'm talking, but I'm assuming in his first or second playoff appearance, he was bombed, right? Yeah. And maybe that creeps into the back of your head and you have a trust issue as they struck out at another outside curveball.
So bad. So bad. Yeah. That's why Roberto Perez is behind the dish now, you loser. I'm just joking. Thanks for the World Series.
Every single pitch that was swung and missed in those three at-bats by Maeda were outside curveballs. Anyway, so meanwhile, Kershaw's were hanging curveballs.
Oh, my God. Those were bad.
Maybe his first appearance or first or second year or whatever in the playoffs was really bad. And maybe he has low self-esteem about it, and he can't get over it.
And here we go with the Muncie, Turner, and Bellinger coming up.
It looks good.
Bellinger's been bad.
Well, but
he's still good.
But who knows? The Nats' bullpen is fantastic, so we could be in for, you know, a quick night here at the hot corner. I guess, and real quick, and we'll move on, because I do want to get to the Yankees-Twins series next. How much, and I hate these kind of questions, but we have to talk about it. We're in the moment. Does this really change your mind about Kershaw? If we flash forward 20 years and I'm talking to grandkids and I say, you know, Grandpa, what was Clayton Kershaw like? I'll be like, first off, don't call me Grandpa. Give me a beer and some smokes, and then we'll talk about Kershaw. Does this change the way, or does this solidify Kershaw, best pitcher we saw that could never win a playoff game?
I think the latter. I mean, it doesn't change my opinion of him, because that's my opinion of him. He's one of the best pitchers of our generation, but in the playoffs has been largely unsuccessful. He had, last year, 2 years ago, he had a really good playoffs. I remember
he had 1 year where it was really good.
He got that demon off his back.
It was 2 years ago. I think he won game five against the Nationals in 2016, or maybe it was 2016.
I don't remember, but either way, I remember there was a playoffs where he pitched well. Everyone was like, oh, he got the monkey off his back. He's better. Well, he's not better. I don't know why he's not better, but it doesn't change my opinion. He's still a Hall of Famer. He's just always going to have that asterisk of couldn't get it done in the big games.
Do we start saying people like Adam Wainwright and Madison Bumgarner are better than Clayton Kershaw?
No.
They got postseason cojones.
That they do. But Kershaw's still better.
Kershaw's still better.
Yeah. Okay. Bumgarner close.
Okay.
Bumgarner, when he was great, was great.
Yeah, you can always say they were better when it mattered most.
Yeah.
I mean, plain and simple.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys like that. You know, I mean, Eric Hinsky has more like walk-off playoff home runs, pinch hit playoff home runs than anybody.
Really?
Yeah, I think he has more pinch hit playoff home runs than anybody.
That's a random player.
Yeah, Eric Hinsky. Look it up, dude. He's got like six. You're like, what? Yeah, when you played for 15 years and you were trash, but you always got picked up right before the playoffs. Hey-o. All right, when we come back, I do want to get into this Yankee series just so we can get this over with. And preview, have the Yankees changed our minds on how far they can go in these playoffs? We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Still 3-3, bottom of the eighth, one out, runner on first. Patrick Corbin on the mound.
Bullpen trust issues.
Yeah, we've got issues both sides. I expect to see Scherzer in this game. At this point, maybe not earlier, but at this point, you never know.
He did just pitch 2 days ago, though, so.
Yeah, but you know he's like, I haven't seen him in a shot in the dugout.
So he's in the bullpen.
Right. And I'm sure we are on Scherzer watch. I won't be shocked if TBS cuts to him in the bullpen, doing the little, like, circles with his arms, getting himself warm. You know he's on the phone. He's like, Martinez, why don't you answer the phone?
Well, last time a pitcher demanded to start, he got shelled, Justin Verlander.
So. Holla. but I want to real quick, as we'll dive into this, because it does need attention. Although, boring. Yankees sweep the Minnesota Twins, and the Minnesota Twins become the first team in Major League Baseball history to win 100 games and not win a playoff game, which I think is quite sad. But if you look at recent Minnesota Twins history, it's all sad.
Yeah, that was 16 straight losses in the playoffs now.
Yes, sir.
I believe 13 of which to the Yankees, which I think is just absolutely bonkers.
He loves this. I just looked over at Joe, and Joe's like shaking his head.
Well, look, it's funny. As a fan...
Oh, it's funny. You're such a jerk.
I talked about this with Dirt the other night, because I was talking to him during the game, and it was Yankees were winning at the end of that game. And he goes, like, don't you feel bad for the Twins? I was like, no, it's funny. Like, I don't know why. And my dad said the same thing. I don't feel bad for the Twins. It's almost like it's become such a thing now where I almost, even outside of being a Yankee fan, like, how are they this bad against one team? It's like Clayton Kershaw sucks in the playoffs. That's
but
crazy.
At least he sucks against everyone.
The Twins suck against the Yankees no matter what. The stat that I heard the other day was since in the last 15 years.
Nice Corbin pitch as he struck out Bellinger.
This is not the exact number, but in the last 15 years, the Twins in the regular season and postseason against the Yankees are 31-96.
That's so bad.
I mean, it's just the Yankees are the Twins' daddies.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter the iteration of the team. It doesn't matter the amount of wins the Twins had in the regular season or what round you're meeting them in. For some reason, there's a mental block there, and it just doesn't happen.
Well,
and I don't really understand it, but when you watch the series, it's so evident the Twins just don't have it against them.
We sat here, and I talked to you about last week. We sat here and previewed this series. Everything I said that I thought the series was going to go, what I wanted to see from it, what I was excited about it, came true for only one of the two teams. The Yanks hit. They hit bombs. They scored runs.
But they didn't hit that many bombs. That's
but,
the thing.
But I mean, they hit around. They scored runs. They were exciting. They were an offense. The Twins showed nothing. They showed no, what's the term I want to look for? They showed no fight. They showed no fight. They showed no composure. It felt like that this series was over before it even began. And we just, as baseball fans, were excited, even though we honestly had no reason to be excited.
So the way I look at this series, and people, I said this on a different show earlier this week.
I may have misjudged this Yankee team. I will admit that.
I might have misjudged them a little bit, too.
I may have misjudged them.
But the you also have to take into account that how badly the Twins played. So, I mean, that could be a lot on the Twins. It could be a lot on the Yankees.
So bad.
I'm not sure.
But that creates, you know,
right.
momentum and confidence.
Here's what I said. And I don't want it to make it sound like I'm a jerk Yankee fan, but this is how I felt watching the series, right? We talked about this last week. The Twins had a great offense, 100-plus wins. Five guys had 30 home runs, right? They were a terrifying offense. From inning one of game one, not one hitter in the lineup scared me as a Yankee fan. Not one hitter.
Not even a little Nelly Cruz?
No, that's my thought was the only guy was Nelson Cruz, but he was lost at the plate.
But not even Eddie Rosario. He's been good.
Eddie Rosario was swinging at pitches nine bajillion feet out of the strike zone.
We are in England.
Right.
We are about to break down Champions League.
So there was only one guy that was actually, I thought really good at the plate for the Twins, and that was Arise, the second baseman, Luis Arise, who was playing with a balky ankle, but he hits the ball all over the place, all over the field. He wasn't swinging for the fences and everything. I mean, Max Kepler was lost.
Yeah.
Miguel Sano was even worse.
Ugh.
Mitch Garver sucked.
I don't know what to say about Miguel
Sano. The fact that they're starting Jake Cave is a joke. He couldn't hit any misplayed balls in left field. Marwin Gonzalez was bad. Nelly Cruz was bad.
Yeah.
Jorge Polanco was good. Luis Arraez was good.
You expect that from Polanco.
And Rosario was mostly good. He had a couple of homers, but was also kind of all over the place, which I guess is what you expect for him. I wasn't scared of their lineup, and we talked, their pitching staff was not good.
No, I thought
their bullpen was trash.
I thought Odorizzi might have had something in game three. I kind of watched him a little bit, because this is the series I watched the least of. Every time I looked up at the TV, it was like, oh, God, Twins are out. I thought Odorizzi pitched well until Sanchez took him deep. And then I was like, you're done.
Not Sanchez.
Was it Torres?
Well, Torres did hit a home run off of him, yeah.
There you go.
For the first home run, yeah.
Yeah, when Torres hit that home run off of him. Sorry, Sanchez, Torres, they have the same kind of batting stance to me. So I get him confused. When Torres hit that dinger, I'm looking at Odorizzi and I was like, and you're done. And it was 1-0.
I mean, he pitched well still. He gave up kind of a little cheap single to Brett Gardner that scored a run. That was kind of a little opposite field grounder, a true Brett Gardner single.
Still, man.
I mean, I guess that's the thing.
Maybe I shouldn't say that Odorizzi was done.
But the Twins were done.
The Twins were done.
Yeah.
Because I was like, game three, back at home, got this, build it.
The Twins were done when they had the bases loaded and nobody out against Severino after the Torres home run, losing 1-0. Sano pops out. Gonzalez strikes out. Cave strikes out. That's when the Twins were done.
Boy, and Sev looked good.
He did for the most part. He's a little wild, but he looked pretty good.
You expect that considering where he is. He's missed most of the year.
He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good.
So what we talked about last week came true. The Yankee staff was better. Bullpen was way better. Lineups, I said, were even, but the Twins, they played like they were underneath the ocean with pressure. And the Yankees were calm, and they took every bad pitch, and they didn't swing at anything out of the zone, and they got on base, and they scored runs. I mean,
yeah,
it was just that simple. So, sorry, Twins, but you choked.
Yeah.
You really did. And the fact that you started Dobnak in game two was moronic. Sure, he had a good ERA this year, but that guy was in single-A ball last year or whatever it was. You can't start him in game two.
And if there's anything I learned from Pedro Martinez in 2003, you can't give Yankee fans any kind of ammunition.
No.
You can't give him any. What is anyone going to do standing on a mound, pitching in a playoff game, when 50,000 rabid, entitled, historically amazing fans start chanting your former job?
Yeah.
There's no way out of that.
Also, why did media rip that? It's not, I mean,
they're creating storylines. No, that's, I expect that.
Yeah, that's just part of playoff baseball.
When I saw they were going to start him, I was like, oh God, these Yankee fans are going to kill him. Because that is what we know. I know this from the beginning of the Jeter Moe dynasty. That Yankee fans in Yankee Stadium in the playoffs are ruthless. Quote, I guess the Yankees are my daddy. What do you think I would do if 50,000 people are chanting, who's your daddy? And you're going to throw an Uber driver up there on the mound? Get out of town. In the city with the worst traffic in America? You can't.
No.
You can't. You're throwing softballs.
And also, and this was something I was reading a lot of Twins fans during the series, just kind of seeing where their mentality was at. Because, I mean, to be honest, I didn't watch a ton of Twins baseball this year. So I was like, okay, how do they feel? Like, what's happening on from their perspective? They were ripping Rocco Baldelli's decisions. Like, we all love Baldelli this year, being a first-year manager, getting them to 100 wins, way above expectations.
Right. I think he did great. He might win AL Manager of the Year. Might probably go to Booney, but it might get him.
Their best pitcher in the bullpen is a guy named Taylor Rogers, and he didn't pitch until like late in the blowout in game two. And Baldelli said he was saving him for when it mattered, but guess what? It didn't matter. At the end postgame, he goes, I'm not disappointed or mad. Our guys had a great season. Every Twins fan in the comments of that post was like, are you effing kidding me? You're not disappointed? We just got swept after winning 100 games against the same stupid team that beats us every year.
Yeah.
And they're like, where's the passion? No wonder the players didn't go out there with any passion, because you don't have any passion.
Yeah.
So it was a really bad series for Baldelli, who had a great season. And then final thought, I know we have to break. Well, and you alluded to this too. The Yankees are way more real deal than we both thought. I thought the Yankees could hit well, get to the ALCS against what I assume would be the Astros, still up in the air, and make that a series. I did not expect them to beat Houston. I wanted them to. I didn't expect them to. Their lineup is loaded beyond belief.
100%.
There's
no doubting that lineup.
But if it's as patient as it was against the Twins, then it's almost unmaneuverable. You can't get around it.
Can't get around anyone.
And
Didi Gregorius hit a grand slam batting eighth.
Yes. Gary Sanchez is hitting seventh.
Yeah. Beautiful. God, what great problems.
I know, right? And if Paxton, Tanaka, and Severino pitch like they had in the last month of the season plus, they have a real 1-2-3 for the playoffs, and we know their bullpen's good. So, to me, that means you can beat the Astros or the Rays, whoever wins tomorrow, and then win a World Series with that as long as those things continue. Now, their staff is more volatile than, say, the Dodgers was or the Astros was. But if it's pitching like that, then it's good enough. It's comparable. Not as good, but comparable. And that gives me, as a Yankee fan, way more hope going into the next round that it's doable.
For the first time this season, I actually believe the Yankees might potentially beat the Astros, should they advance. Keyword there, should. And that's where we'll begin the top of the 9 o'clock hour. We move to Houston, Tampa, as it's the top of the ninth, one out, Joe Kelly on the mound, and the Nationals hitters are swinging at everything. We'll get to you next in the second hour of the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.